Call us at 1-800-444-1977. Again, that number is 1-800-444-1977. Or you can order on our website, alternativeradio.org. Matt Laubeck recorded the program. The Kronos Quartet performs our theme music from Pieces of Africa. Joe Ritchie is our general manager and editor. I'm David Barsamian. Thank you for listening.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of People Sanctuary, Saturday, April 8th at 7 p.m. at the Artist Repertory Theater in Portland. People Sanctuary features performances by Amenta Abioto, Mike Crenshaw, Solomon Starr, Black Butterfly, Alexis Kennard, and Michelle Strong. Again, that's at People Sanctuary, Saturday, April 8th at 7 p.m. at the Artist Repertory Theater. 1515 Southwest Morrison Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events. The man I used to pound,
he's down away. Good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland. It is 10 o'clock. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, on stage and studio, DeMay Roberts welcomes Lauren Weedman, who's performing her world premiere play, Lauren Weedman Doesn't Live Here Anymore, at Portland Center Stage at the Armory. At 11:30, Art Focus presents some of the creators of the British play, The Angry Brigade, which is in its U.S. premiere at Imago Theater. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you're not a member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate. And now it's Chris Andre with Air Cascadia.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, April 4th, 2017, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, your sanctuary radio, your resistance radio, at 90.7 FM on the air, kboo.fm everywhere. For today, weather got a little bit of it, not a lot, shouldn't get in your way. Yeah, everybody is still ecstatic over a whiff of spring. For today, though, it's mostly cloudy, highs around 62, and east wind 10 to 13, gusting up to 18 miles per hour. We could see those overcast skies turning into a bit of rain by the afternoon. For tonight, there is that slight chance of rain persisting. And otherwise, lows around 46 and east wind 5 to 9. For tomorrow, Wednesday, again, same chance of rain and same cloudy skies and a high around 65, and with that east wind dropping off. Tomorrow night, it's 50-50 on rain, lows around 47 and light winds. So that's it for weather for today. We seem to be on a number of fronts right now in a holding position, which always suggests to me that events are moving very rapidly under the surface. It's difficult always to get news of what those currents amount to in a time like this, when there's a great deal of silence on the wires. Even trusted places that we go to look for the word. And generally find it this time. Gorsuch situation continues. We're hoping to have Marjorie Cohen as a guest on the show a little bit later on. Marjorie Cohen is a professor emeritus at the Thomas Jefferson School of Law. Her books include The United States and Torture. The list goes on. You can easily Google that and find out. Suffice it to say, many of our listeners on Earth Cascadia here are familiar with Marjorie Cohen and her writing and her words on these and American jurisprudence in the 21st century. She wrote a piece just a while back. Gorsuch would use originalism to affirm right-wing agenda. Originalism is a dangerous delight to the right on any occasion. And in the hands of Neil Gorsuch, originalism would be a loaded gun. And he would be a scary, scary right-wing vote on the bench. So there is the prospect of filibuster and on the left, and then there is, of course, if you can call it the left, let's say the Democrats, open to interpretation. And on the right, of course, there is the so-called nuclear option, which very likely is what we're going to be facing. This is going to be a tough one. And we stand a good chance of losing. I don't think, I really do not believe that the truth has settled in yet. I don't think many people have really accepted the fact that Donald Trump is going to be so much worse than we imagined, partially because money in the background, the Mercer family, daughter Rebecca Mercer and father Robert Mercer, who are shy, to say the least, billionaires who funded all of this, starting with Breitbart News and expanding the universe of totalitarianism, authoritarianism, the clear and obvious now reality of an oligarchy. I don't think any of that has settled in. I don't think anyone took the Mercer family into account during the election cycle. It appears that even on the left, a very simplistic black and white proposition was what was on offer. And many people saw their way to some sort of the third party enigma, but not the reality of the situation. So now here we are and Donald Trump is everything people feared and far more, because he has been bought and paid for by the Mercers and, of course, the Koch brothers. The Mercers, however, are far, far more powerful and far more deeply entrenched in the political system than the Koch brothers are, if that's possible to believe. And my suggestion is, believe it. That said, we do have headlines. We are waiting for Marjorie to join us, but suffice it to say, she has the Gorsuch situation nailed down, and we do hope to hear her understanding of it. Right now, though, here's a thought for you. First up, the news, which in the light of all the rest of this might not seem that serious to many people. It should be, however, because it does in a way pertain to us living here in Cascadia. Here's the deal. Himalayan glaciers have been granted the status of living entities, and this for the protection purpose. This was enacted by an Indian court, which has recognized Himalayan glaciers, lakes, and forests as legal persons in an effort to curb environmental destruction. This is weeks after it granted similar status to the country's two most sacred rivers. In a decision that aims to widen environmental protections to the mountain region, the court granted the legal standing to glaciers Gangotri and Yamunotra. They feed into, of course, the venerated Ganga. This, of course, might seem far and away from where we are fighting the good fight to protect the Elliot, to protect so many forests and wildlands across Cascadia. But here, get this. What if we applied the same tactic to the Columbia River, to Mount Hood, to many of our remote desert areas, that fragile environments that have been pretty much destroyed by cattle ranching and so forth? Or our coastal regions. What about declaring those are indeed living entities? The sea is a living entity. What if we granted these areas of Cascadia the designation as living entities, and thus we, of course, being a God-fearing nation, right, where we don't ever destroy any life in any form whatsoever, with the exception of inhumanly brutal executions, which even the executioners themselves referred to as murder, that, of course, is exempt. And it's as part of the American system of exceptionalism. That said, what about taking steps to obtain this designation of a living entity for the, let's start with the Columbia River. That would be a good one. The Columbia River declared a living entity would be subject to all of the rights and protections. It could vote. That said, think about it. That's an idea. And in the state, this is maybe a good news or maybe neutral in news, but nonetheless, we have worked hard, many people, many activists, to control and bring a halt to the use of pesticides. As the Oregon legislature is considering now four bills that would tighten regulations around pesticides. The state's agricultural department, not always a credible source, I'm sad to say, says that the dollar amount of fines issued for improper pesticide use quadrupled last year. This thanks largely to one big penalty. This piece of news comes from the Statesman Journal, and the rest of the story here is something to think about. Again, it is due largely to activism and that in the name of bringing awareness to the public of the use of things like neonicotinoids, which you can buy a plant at a so-called organic nursery. You can buy plants that say they've been raised and grown organically. But if there were traces of neonicotinoids or even a big slam bang dose of them in the soil when the plant was growing, then you can dump all the organic matter you want on it. It's still got neonicotinoids in its system, and it still is capable of spreading those. They can be found in pollen, for example, and picked up by bees. So the fact that we are controlling the use of pesticides is a very good thing, of course, but trying to trace the journey of this class of chemicals through the history of the plants that we think of as organic, that is another matter entirely. There are so many ways around the laws, and some of the agribusiness producers know all of those ways. They know them well. They know them hook, line, and sinker. And we have two men who have reported extensively on jihadists say that there are two men who are on one of Donald Trump's kill lists, which I expect are kill lists to end all kill lists, or perhaps kill all kill lists. So, that said, we did not manage to get Marjorie on the line, but we will do tomorrow as the Gorsuch nomination appointment now heats up. This has been Cascadia for Tuesday, April 4th, 2017. Engineering for us today is Judy Feistel. Thanks, Judy. And as always, our AM News and Public Affairs Director is Derek Crooks. Thanks, Derek. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the screening of Food Chains, The Revolution in America's Fields, taking place Friday, April 14th at 7 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church in Portland. Food Chains is a documentary film about